Praise the Lord. Just give the Lord a hand. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I know this is an early morning, so, and if you're like me, I'm not always an early riser. And so, I'm not always an early riser, so start off a little slow in the morning. Amen? Amen. But when I'm slow, then I'm long. I mean, that kind of ties in, right, you know? That kind of ties in, you know, when if you're going slow, it takes longer to do whatever you're going to do. Amen? But first of all, let me thank the Lord for having me come and be a part of you today. I'm really blessed and honored that I would be invited to come and to share the goodness of God with you, the goodness of the Lord with you this day. And also to give honor to the patriarch of this house, Lanny Clark, and his lovely wife, Patty. Just dear friends of ours. And we love him. They're just a tremendous people, as you already know. And then Mike and I have had chance to cross paths several times, and he's a genuine guy. I'm telling you, he's absolutely a genuine guy. And I thank you for your faithfulness, sir. And I'm quite sure that you're going to, your endeavors are going to be quite bountiful and pleasing to those who you entreat. And so, and then my brother over here, John. Good to see you, sir. Good to see you. Good to see you again. And all. Well, anyway, I'm going to just share some things that I believe the Lord is sharing throughout the body of Christ. And the idea is to encourage us. Oftentimes we need encouragement and all, and I want to encourage you along the paths of righteousness and worship and honor, along those paths. And the reason why the Lord has us there from the beginning of the year, he told me to begin to teach the people concerning worship, and then he took us from worship to faith, and now from faith to, well, we're not finished with faith, but part of the faith walk or faith teaching comes the understanding of righteousness. And so I don't know how much of that will be shared today, but I believe the Lord would share that with the body of Christ everywhere and all. So I probably will be ministering along the lines of dealing with righteousness and then see how the Lord takes that and prepares it for you. Amen? Amen. Is that okay? All right, wonderful one. Sometimes I walk around, and so if, don't be frightened if I walk around and all, but is it okay? All right, good. My way of getting loosened up, you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good, 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 good. Well, anyway, as a matter of a current event, I'm quite sure you all have heard the news about Michael Jackson passing. To me, that was tremendous surprise to see him go like that and what have you, but it brings to my understanding of how we all need to always find ourselves prepared. Even the people of God should be always prepared, you know. And as people of God, or as the children of God, or even as we might say the sons of God, after coming to that understanding of who we are, then what happens after that? I'm of the opinion that when the people of God begin to pray, then things begin to happen. And not always the things that look good are happening. It's like the press or the pressure or the authority or the power of the prayer of the righteous causes things that are below surface to come to surface. Amen. Sometimes we are disturbed by seeing all the stuff come to surface, all the junk, all the mess come to surface, and we sometimes question, am I really getting my prayer through, or is God really answering my prayer? And I've come to understand over my years that indeed God is answering prayer, and he's bringing or uncovering those things that were hidden or was trying to hide, and he's bringing those things to the surface. Amen. Amen. You ever had I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, and even in college, I used to have a lot of pimples on my face and what have you. Those things would it'd be kind of sore, at least mine were. And they would come to a head, you know, and they would come to a head by themselves. Amen. And if I were to get there before time and try to do things to rid myself of perhaps that mark on my face, I only made it worse. Amen. And I've learned to take my hands off of things and let God do what God knows how to do. And he does it much better than I do. Amen. In fact, when I would mess with things on my face and other parts of my body, then it would leave an ugly mark. It would leave a sore, a scar, you know. I mean, in fact, sometimes it would fester up bigger than what it would have been if I had left it alone. Amen. But I was just wondering and kind of, you know, I'm a very curious person. And so I was curious about, you know, was that pimple coming along and were things coming as fast as they could? Amen. Sometimes we're like that, too, in our prayer life when we're praying and we're wondering if things are coming along as fast as they can and or as they could or as they should. And we tend to want to put our pressure in there and try to make things work, especially in our loved ones' lives and our family and children and what have you and all those kind of things. You know, we try to make things happen before they are ready to happen, if you understand what I'm saying to you. And so I begin to think about that as the people of God. There's a scripture that says in the book of James, the fifth chapter, around the 16, 17 verse, it says something, part of it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I think as the people of God, we should understand what God has done, what he has done when we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives. We understand sonship. I understand being son. But there are some things that he did in the process or even in the operation of God that took place in my life, your life, when I received him as Savior and Lord of my life. Amen. And as we appreciate these things and understand these things, then we're more apt to walk in these things more readily. And instead of going ahead of God, we'll walk with God. Amen. Amen. And be assured that what he has promised will indeed take place. Amen. So we are praying for things to happen in our city, our community, what have you. We meet once a month with one of our sister churches. It's a Korean church, a Presbyterian Korean church, and we've grown to love one another. And our intercessors, our prayer persons, or just whoever shows up, we meet at the West Lawn of the Capitol grounds every month, 6 o'clock in the morning, pray for an hour together. And we believe God has given us that particular gate as a body of believers to come together consistently, whether it be cold, whether it be hot, whether it be rainy, whether it's a holiday, doesn't matter. We come together and we are before the Lord and we speak as God gives us to speak and pray there at the West Lawn of the Capitol grounds. Now, we're not the only ones that probably pray around the Capitol, what have you. But the idea is that as you're praying and you see all these things happening in the news and all around and about you, sometimes the question becomes, well, are my prayers getting through? And I want us to understand and encourage you that indeed, as a righteous person, then indeed your prayers are getting through. And not only are they getting through, but they shall and will be answered. Amen. Amen. Now, we must understand that being a righteous man, we must not just look around and try to pick out who is the righteous man or who is the righteous person, but we must understand that all of us, because of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, are all righteous. In fact, none of us, any of us, are more righteous than the next person. No matter what our position might be, no matter what our function might be, or what our call might be, we are equally righteous. Amen. Now, this is important to understand because when it comes time to pray, to speak, as the Lord will give you to speak, you'll be more apt to speak and to pray or to seek and understand what the Lord wants you to do or wants to say through you and to speak to whatever it is to be spoken to, and rather than always putting it off on someone else. Amen. Amen. This is important because we understand then the power and the authority that God has invested in you. when you begin to understand that your righteousness is not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we'll get to some scriptures so that we can begin to see that perhaps and understand that righteousness and rightness are all a gift that's given by God himself. It's a gift. Amen. And so in Romans, maybe you want to turn to that, Romans, the fifth chapter. We'll start there and we'll begin to perhaps understand some things. Because I'm hearing things from people speaking and talking and being interviewed on the news and what have you, especially when we were talking about this thing in D.C. about the gay rights, gay marriage thing and what have you. And you heard people said things like this. Well, if whatever they want to do is fine with me. It doesn't bother me. You know, and that meant to me that they had no clue of what was going on in the realm of the spirit. And the reason perhaps they didn't have a clue about what was happening in the realm of the spirit, or even the very truth of the matter, is because perhaps no one really told them or was ever shared with them the truth of what's happening in the realm of the spirit. You know, if people are ignorant, they will speak ignorantly. Amen. Amen. And it's not to come down on anybody, but just to give you the understanding that as a righteous person, there is a responsibility that we have as the people of God. And if it's no more than revealing the truth. Amen. Amen. Now, if we don't see ourselves as righteous because perhaps we feel like we need to do certain things in order to be righteous, then maybe we will not be as apt to speak up and to stand and be the light and to be the salt in the earth. Amen. Because that's what we're supposed to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in Romans, the fifth chapter, and this is to encourage you now. You know, I'm greatly encouraged as the Lord begins to give me understanding, fundamental but yet understanding that fundamental understanding. And sometimes our foundation needs to be shored up a little bit. Amen? Amen? Amen. So in Romans, the fifth chapter, and of course, you know, you probably have to read through the whole book of Romans and what have you to get an understanding as Paul so cleverly and so spiritually begins to talk about faith and righteousness to bring us up to a place even to our activity in the Lord and what have you. But here, if I may, let me bring you to Romans, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to take you right to it so that you can begin to understand, see where I'm trying to point you to. It says here, verse 16, it says, well, let's go for 17. For if by one, and I'm reading out of the King James Version here, it says, and for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. So we kind of understand that. To reign is to have a rule, have dominion, to exercise control, those kind of things. So it says here, and we're talking about the first Adam, because of what he did, about him rejecting the Lord, by him disobeying God, then he says here that for if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now the whole thought here is that as sons, as the people of God, we indeed should be reigning, but not reigning in and of ourselves, but reigning through Jesus the Lord. Amen. And so here we see something here that it speaks of the abundance of the grace of God and the receiving the gift of righteousness. So my thought here is that righteousness is a gift from God. It's not something that you can work, or I'm beginning to understand it's not something that you can learn, but it is developed in you, but it's not something that you can just go out and just learn. It's something that is imputed, or other words, imparted to you. as the Spirit of God goes into operation when you are born again, God does something and he imparts because of his Son. He imparts or he imputes or declares that you are righteous. Now, that's important that we receive that. And this righteousness, this gift of righteousness is as soon as, if I may say, is as soon as you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. I know some feel like you need to go through this progression of what have, and I can understand that. But from God's point of view, you are righteous. Maybe from your point of view of looking towards God, you see yourself being developed. Okay? But I want you to see something first and catch the glimpse from God's point of view and see what God sees. He sees you as a righteous person. And the scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. In other words, a righteous person's prayer is powerful and effective. Amen. Okay. Want you to understand that, because if not, then we'll be less apt to pray or feel like our prayers are not being heard or have no avail based on the things we hear happening all around and about us. But I believe that the things that are happening all around and about us are because we are praying. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that many others say you need to pray more and you need to pray longer. You need to pray harder. I don't think now. I'm not in disagreement with praying longer, nor am I in disagreement with praying harder. Amen. But the Lord began to bring to my understanding, son, you are praying and I hear your prayer. And the things that are happening are a direct result to you praying. Amen. So we continue to pray and be steadfast in our prayer, but understanding that God is working something out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. People need to learn. Like I was talking about the people, you know, you interview people and they say all kinds of things because they just feel like they've been taught, hey, just leave stuff alone. If it doesn't bother me, then it's okay. Whatever they do is okay with me, because they have no real understanding of what's happening in the realm of the spirit. But the people of God do. Amen. 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 We do it for our children. Amen. There was a man in the scriptures that we refer you to that you know very well, who was considered to be perfect and upright before the Lord. His name was Job. And we can go back and look at Job and understand some things, because we know what he went through. We know the hardships he went through and the things that happened to his body and all those kind of things. But what kind of person was he before he faced these things? The Bible says he was a perfect. In fact, that was the testimony of the Lord, of God himself, that he's a perfect and upright man. So we need to look at what made him perfect and what made him upright, based on what we see in the scripture now. I know it doesn't go into a whole lot of detail, but it does say something. It says that he feared the God and he hated or he eschewed evil. All right? And then we saw some things that he did. And I would just suggest this to you, especially as parents, okay? Or if you're not a parent, do it with your friends. If you don't have friends, then do it with your neighbor. If you don't have neighbors, then do it with your coworkers. If you don't have any of those, then do it with your enemies. Okay? I would suggest that you do this thing. It says here that it gave the idea that this man was a well-known man. In fact, it says that he was the richest man in the East. Amen. Is it in the land of Uz? I kind of figured out, did they get Wizard of Oz on that? But probably so. But I'm not sure. But anyway, in the land of Uz, he was the richest man in the East. So he was not an ordinary man. He was a well-known man. But he was more known because of his uprightness before the Lord. But I want to get an understanding of what that means, people, as we are the sons of God, so that we just don't just receive the understanding that we are the sons of God and stop there. There's an activity and responsibility that's before us as the people of God. People don't know if the gospel of Jesus Christ is hidden. It's hidden from who? It's hidden from the lost. Amen. And we're the one who carry the gospel. The people of God, we carry the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Amen. We need to understand the power of God. We carry the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of the kingdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? As the people who are declared by God himself to be righteous, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hey, we give Elijah, what did he do? Man, he spoke and rain stopped. Not for just a day. You know, I probably could speak today and say no rain. And there probably maybe there might be a good chance no rain. Well, no rain around this area. Huh? But it was not by chance when he spoke rain, no rain, for the space of three or more years. No rain. In fact, rain didn't come back or happen again until he spoke and said, rain, come back or happen again. That's power. That's showing authority. I mean, if you can just get a glimpse of the magnitude of that and begin to understand the magnitude of the authority of Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, all of creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But what does that look like? I think we should start maybe at a common denominator and begin to see in our homes and our families and the places that we travel day in and day out, that the authority and the power of God is witness. Come on now. Because if not, then we have people, when interviewed, have no clue of what's happening in the realm of the spirit. And so they begin to welcome those things that will hold them in blindness and captivity. They begin to welcome those things that will lock them in and control them and abuse the faith that God has given them. Because God has given every man a measure of faith. Amen. And your enemy wants to take what God has given you and use it to his avail. Each of us. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here we see in Romans, the fifth chapter, it says here that it's a gift and that we reign in life, not in the next life or the life to come, but in this life we reign through Jesus, our Lord. That's important that we understand this, okay? Because if we don't, then we will never share the gospel like we should. We'll never take advantage of the opportunity to be led by his spirit to share the goodness of the Lord, to open the eyes of those who are caught up in darkness. That's what he told Paul in Acts 26. He told him, say, hey, open their eyes. Okay? See that they come out of darkness into the light. Amen. That they'll receive forgiveness of sin, of their sins. Amen. And have a part or a share of the inheritance that is in God. Amen. That's our responsibility. And so now it's time for us not just to arbitrarily get up and start talking about things and try to make some people happen. No, no. We're not to try to apply artificial pressure to the situation. And sometimes we want to do that. Sometimes we want to do that through the politics. Sometimes we want to do that through the court system and what have you. Sometimes we want to do it through the megaphone. Sometimes we want to do it through the news media. Or TV, applying artificial pressure. Well, maybe everybody's not applying artificial pressure. Some people are called out for those type of things and what have you. But in all, we know that righteousness cannot be legislated. It is something that's done that God does with the heart of man. Amen. When we believe on God and receive him and his provision, then God does a work. Go to Colossians, the second chapter, and I'll give the verse that I'm referring to, so maybe perhaps you would agree with me even more. Or if not, then then you know where I came from. Amen. Colossians, the second chapter, the 12th verse. And it says, it's like this. It says, well, let's go to the 11th verse first. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of this flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. That's what I'm getting to. The operation of God. Oh, man. Man, when I hear that phrase in relationship to God, it just tells me how God began to operate, do a surgical, spiritual surgical procedure in my life to begin to cut away some things, or not something, but cut away everything. I can give you some things, but I'm not here to talk about myself right now. I'm not trying to puff myself up and all, but God did a cleansing work. He did a purifying work. He began to cut away that which no man, including myself, could not cut away. Amen. This is what makes this thing so beautiful. God is the author and the finisher, and he's the one who does it. He gets all the credit for it. Amen. He's made it such that you cannot fail as long as you rest in him. And so then I need to, when I'm looking at this little pimple, that's an eyesore. I don't know, some of you may have never had pimples. I had many pimples. But some of the worst ones were on my nose. Oh, man, not only were they sore and on my nose, not only did other people see them, but I could see it. You know, I mean, it's, if you can imagine that as being sin, amen. If you can imagine that as being unrighteousness, just imagine it. I'm not saying it is, you know, but I'm just saying, imagine if it were, okay? And sometimes we want to apply artificial pressure to try to get rid of the sin that we see. Amen. Hey, we know through the court systems and through politics that we can only pass laws, and we got plenty of thousands and thousands of laws on the books. If we just keep the ones that we have, we'll be okay. But we come up with more laws and more laws and more laws, trying to legislate morality, and we can't legislate morality. Okay? Oh, it's a given fact. You cannot legislate morality. Oh, God has to do something. Amen. That's where the prayer of the righteous comes in. Is that when we begin to pray. But oftentimes when we pray, we're not expecting the judgment of God to come. We're looking for him just to clear up some things so we can live peaceably with everybody. But oftentimes I begin to find out that as the righteous pray, the judgment of God comes. Because God not only wants to see that you are redeemed, but he wants to see that everyone is redeemed or has the opportunity to be redeemed. Amen. Praise God. And so just go to Isaiah 26th chapter. And we'll look at that just a moment and all. Praise the Lord. Am I being clear? Oh, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I know, you know, sometimes there's a discrepancy about words and all from the Old Testament to the New Testament, what have you. If you'll just allow me to take this thing about righteousness and move it from back and forth between old and new, because in the long run, I think that they're all intersecting. You see that they coincide, okay, and all. So here in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, I'll try to go right straight to the verse. Let's go to verse 7. Of chapter 26 of Isaiah. And it says, the way of the just is uprightness. Now, we just talked about Job being a just and an upright man, perfect before the Lord. Amen? And so we see this word again, uprightness. It says, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright. he's letting them know, yeah, I'm upright, but you are even more upright, Lord, than I am, what have you. Thou most upright doth weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Now that sounds like somebody who's praying. Praying throughout the day. At night he's praying. Early in the morning he's praying. He's seeking the Lord. He desires that the Lord have his way. Amen. He's asking the Lord, Lord, come and intervene into the affairs of mankind. Amen. 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 Do you see that? Do you sense that? Okay. And so for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, I'm understanding something. Oftentimes we're looking for something to happen one way, but it seems like all the bad stuff comes up. And it seems like there's judgments in the earth. And we're wondering, well, what's going on? We need to pray more. But maybe we're saying we need to pray more because we don't understand that God is working things out. Amen. Amen. He says, so when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants will learn righteousness. Come on. How many times have you seen it that when things begin to get bad, that the people, even the heathens that we say we knew or know, begin to want to call and understand, or we begin to open themselves to understand, what is God doing? What is God saying? They're more open to hear the gospel or hear the good news. They're more open because of judgment. Amen. Now it goes on further here and it gives further clarification here. It says here in verse 10, it says, let favor he showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness? The one says that God can show his favor and they still won't learn righteousness. Come on now. And he goes on further. And he says, in the land of uprightness, will he deal unjustly? And the thought here is that, we're reading this one, it says, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. In other words, I can be around all kinds of unjust people, and just to be around them is not enough, because they still will not do the right thing. The thought is, if God doesn't intervene, if something spiritual that's backed up by God doesn't happen, then the people are still the same. Even if God were to show his mercy, which he has, say here in this great land of the USA, God has shown us mercy over and over again. He has favored us over and over again. Yet we reject him. Yet we will not live uprightly before him as a people. As a nation. So we can witness this among ourselves, that people just don't learn righteousness. Something has to happen. So the sons of God, amen, the people of God, sometimes we can talk until we're blue in the face. We can preach until we lose our voice. We can teach until there's no more to teach. And yet people still do all these things. You be saying, what's wrong with them? Amen. Hey, I'm beginning to understand that perhaps we don't call on that which God has given us. He's given us his Holy Spirit, that there might be discernment. that we might walk in discernment and begin to discern the spiritual need that is there and begin to address that from the point of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. That what? That the eyes of those that have been blinded will be open. The thought is that if their eyes are open, they'll see. If they see, they'll make the right choice. Huh? The God of this world, little G-O-D, has blinded the eyes of many. But yet God has set people in the earth, you and I, the righteousness of God in the earth, to open their eyes that they might see. Amen. To deliver them out of darkness into the light, that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and take on that portion that is in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. And so he goes on further and he says here, he says, verse 10 and then verse 11, says, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. Okay. He says, but they shall see and be ashamed by their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thy enemies shall devour them. And all he's saying is what I'm simply getting here is that because of you taking a stand in prayer, a stand in your willingness to share the gospel, to live the gospel, to be a pattern and a model that can be seen and read by all men, then they will become envious and ashamed that they did not receive the law. Amen. God has a way of pulling by his spirit those who are lost and drawing them unto himself. We say it this way, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. God needs us. The Father's looking for us to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Not look to the politicians. Hey, we lose our voice when we give it to another. When we take our responsibility and put it on another to do, we lose our voice. In fact, we lose our saltiness. Bible says, if you're not salty, you'll be trodden under the foot of men. Amen. Amen. Our light is no longer to be under the basket, but we're to be on the hill standing. Amen. Now you're talking about pressure. So you got pressure, artificial, and you got the real deal. God and his judgments. Amen. And that's real pressure. And when he knows when and how and where to apply the pressure. Amen. That he might rid that generation or that people of that sin. He knows when it's ripe. I don't mean to be gross, but when a pimple is right, it doesn't take much manipulation by you. Amen. Just to take a little warm cloth or what have you and boop, and there it goes. And then the healing process, it very fast. It heals up quite fast. Amen. Amen. Oh, when I applied that external pressure, man, it took a lot of healing because I didn't hurt it. I hurt the surrounding area. I mean, I just made a mess. Amen. Wasn't ready. But God knows when time is. But it says, sometimes the scripture says, in the fullness of the dispensation of times, God did some things. Things were bad then. God, they were bad for a long time. But I can just see my Father saying, well, it's just not right yet. I heard Jesus say, well, it's just not my time. It's not my time yet. Things were not right yet. Hey, that didn't mean that he wasn't continuing to pray and to seek his Father's will, but he realized that things are not right yet. And so the same way we are supposed to be as we pray and understand that, hey, some things are not right yet, but I'm going to continue to pray and labor before the Lord and seek that his judgments enter into the earth, because I know that when his judgments come, The inhabitants will learn righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory unto the Lord. Glory unto the Lord. Glory unto the Lord. Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. That was an eye opener to me. Because I'm the type of person who like to get things and make them happen. You know? And then I began to talk to the Lord. Lord, why are they not happening? I put my best effort. Why are they not happening? You know? Shakers and a mover, you know? A shaker and a mover. You know what I mean? Shaker and a mover. Okay? But God let me know. I got it in control. I have it under control. I have it under control. Now, I need you to continue to pray, seek my face, be the gospel, the living epistle before the people. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Amen.
I have heard